Okay, I'm just going to go through a list of questions, and the title would be Waiting. So I've already said to you, have you ever ran headfirst into a snowbank? All right, is it going to go back? Oh, there you go. Wait. See, now this is appropriate, wasn't it? Because I'm talking about waiting, and I had to wait. See, that was on purpose. That was to emphasize waiting for you, not getting frustrated. Have you ever gone headfirst into a snowbank? Have you ever been in despair? Have you ever felt forsaken? Have you ever been falsely accused? Well, that's a tough one. Have you ever struggled with a long-term trial? Have you ever wondered, God, do you hear my cry? Have you ever felt, this is too much for me to bear? Have you ever lost heart or felt like you were about to lose heart? Now, I'm not asking for you to raise your hands. I'll put my hand up and said, I have at times felt all of these. Now, you can have your own questions that you might want to put up there. The title of today's message is Wait, I Say on the Lord. Waiting for the PowerPoint to work. Well, that's easy, because I could give the message without the PowerPoint. Many have waited. Now, if one takeaway you can get from this message today, I'd like it. One takeaway would be, if you are going through tough times, or if you go through tough times in the future, because some of you may have read that list and thought, no, I haven't been there. I would have said the same thing when I was younger too. But if you're going through tough stuff, and I know some of you are, or if you go through something in the future, you are not alone. Now, Bible examples, Noah, and this is by far from an exhaustive list. This is just a few that I came. Noah, how long did he wait to building the ark? Now, he was active, but how long was he waiting for that rain? How many decades? In fact, it was more decades than most of us have lived. So in our terms, it was a lifetime that Noah waited for that rain to come while he was building the ark. Just think about that. If you've been waiting, how long did Noah then, when he was in the ark, wait then for the rain? Right, he got all the animals in. With Noah, there's a lot we could keep going with Noah. What about Paul? Paul had a thorn in the flesh. Now, we're not told exactly what that thorn was, but it was enough that Paul prayed fervently for God to remove that thorn. And as far as we know, God never removed it. That's a long time to wait, isn't it? What about David? Again, there's many examples, but David was on the run for 8 years. 4 years he was in the wilderness, and then 4 years he was in the city, basically a sanctuary city. 4 years he was able to hide out in a city. But 8 years, basically, on the run. Joseph, 13 years in slavery and prison. So I put that time together. Because he was in slavery and then in prison. Now, do you think Joseph was praying? Well, we know he was, right? Because it says he was praying. He was asking God. He was talking to God. I haven't had to be in prison for over a decade. And then you remember it was his brothers that sold him into slavery. How long till he, and I put bros up there because it fitted in the line. But that's how I took up my bros. Right, I've got five brothers, and my five brothers could get together and they could throw me in a pit. As strong and as healthy as I look, they would do it quite easily. But 22 years before he saw his brothers again, Did Joseph want reconciliation? I think so. What about Hannah? How many years did Hannah wait? Year after year, she was waiting. She'd go up to the temple, and what would happen? She was waiting, but also what was happening? She was mocked by the other ladies. When she wanted to have Samuel. Not only not able to have children, but then being mocked for it. Now, you can list out your own list of Bible people, others that have been through it. And one approach for this message that I thought of would be to go through one or two of these Bible characters in detail. But I decided against that. Instead, I'd like to go to my key scripture, which is Psalm 27, verse 14. So if you turn with me to Psalm 27, verse 14, this is the key scripture. So I've got the New King James in front of you. Probably a lot of you have that in front of you on your lap. But Psalm 27 and verse 14, this is a psalm of David. And it says, "Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." So this is where I took the title of this message from, this verse, "Wait, I say, on the Lord." And so you see in the New King James translation that's in front of you, it says, "Wait on the Lord." So this is waiting. It says, "Be of good courage." Why does it say be of good courage? Because David knows, he knew, he'd experienced it. There are times when your courage falters and you have to be strengthened. Right? "And he shall be strengthened." And it says, "And he shall strengthen your heart." So this is a heart matter that we see in this verse. "Wait, I say, on the Lord." I put a couple of other translations up in front of you. So the New Living Translation puts it this way. It says, "Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord." So the New Living Translation really emphasizes wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. And then the Bible in Basic English, BBE is what it stands for, says, "Let your hope be in the Lord." That's a little bit different take. It says, "Let your hope be in the Lord. Take heart." So it's got the heart again. So our hope is in the Lord. "Take heart and be strong." Yes, let your hope be in the Lord. So when you look at this word for wait, so I've taken just the first line of the definition from Brown Drivers Briggs. So it uses the same Strong's numbers. So the Strong's number is 6960. When it says wait, but the definition is to wait, look for, hope, expect. So now you can see those three different translations that I put up there. I can go back to them. It has these aspects in there. Hope, it has the wait, it has that be courageous part there, right? To wait, look for, hope, expect. And so preparing this message, I thought about different Bible examples. And some of you think of personal examples that you see. I know some of you look at me and you tell me that I encourage you because I'm going through tough stuff. We can be strengthened. But instead of going through a specific example, I thought I would go through Psalm 27. So if you haven't turned there yet, you should be there, but if you haven't turned there with me, and read along in your own copy of God's Word. Because there is a connection. When you read it yourself in your personal copy of God's Word, you see it. So Psalm 27, let's go through this. And as we go through this, I think you will connect with this. And if you don't connect with it today, there may be a future time when you really connect with this. Because the psalm starts off, it's a declaration of faith. Now, I want you to think about yourself. When you go before God, you cry out with praises to God. You cry out with things like there may be scriptures that come to mind, some of your memory scriptures. And we'll look at one of those memory scriptures today. We'll get there towards the end of this message. But read these words. And just think, this could be me talking, right? And put yourself in here. This is King David, who, as I said, went through tough stuff. Right? He's told, okay, you've been anointed, you're the next king. Oh, did David ever say, you know, when I got anointed, there was never anything said about me having to be on the run for 8 years, you know, from the current king. But look at this. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Wow, right? How many of you have prayed like this? How many of you have meditated on God's word and says, yes, right? And you've been bolstered up. David knew these words. Verse 2, "When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh," just hear the imagery. Right? Have you ever felt like this? Like the wicked came up against me to eat my flesh? Powerful imagery. "My enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell." Right? So he's remembering back to past times when God has intervened in his life, just like we do. And then he says, "Though an army should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident." Wow, what strength. And hopefully a lot of you say, yeah, that's me, right? I've got that sort of confidence in God. And yes, we do. And sometimes, academically, the head knowledge is all there. And then what happens? We go and pray to God. And this is probably not any of you, but I know sometimes we think, okay, I'll take this problem to God and I'll just wait 7 to 10 working days and it's all done because God will take care of it. Now, sometimes that happens. And I mentioned that in the Did You Know today, right? Sometimes there's some instant prayer where people are boosted up. Some of you may have prayed for me today. So you can tell me if you think I have got enough energy today. Verses 4 through 6 continue with this praising, looking to the future hope, the promises. And again, do we hold on to that? We say, oh, yes, the promises. But notice the way it's read. Verse 4, right? So we end verse 3, "In this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that I will seek..." Right? And so this is what I'm seeking. This is what I've committed to. "That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion, in the secret place of his tabernacle. He shall hide me. He shall set me on high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing," yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Right? You have all this positivity. You have all this looking to the future promises. And he was promised to be raised up, wasn't he? He was had been anointed to be the next king. So in a physical plane, but David also knew those future promises. And we understand this. And you may say, oh, yes, I can pray like that. But notice verse 7. Now, in verse 7, there's a change. And just think about this. David knows all that he wrote in verses 1 through 6, and then he still then shares this. Verse 7. "Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice." Now, hold on. David knows that God hears when he cries out, but he's still like imploring here in these next few verses. This is crying out, this petition to God. It's like, David, did you forget what the first six verses was? No, he didn't. But he still was in a place, a tough spot. Have mercy also upon me and answer me. So what is happening here? David's going through a time when he's having to wait on God. It's like, answer me, God. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek. So what's verse 8? You gave me instructions and I'm following them. Right? You said, seek my face, and I am seeking. So I'll put my hand up for everybody. Everyone in this room is seeking to follow God. You're here on his Sabbath day. You're here to learn from God's word. Right? You can say, God, I've attended Sabbath every week. I've attended your holy days. I've not missed one holy day since I was baptized or whatever it was, since I found out about your truth, since I was a child, whatever the case is for you. And you can go to God and say, God, I've done this. David says, when you told me to do something, I did it. But he's still got this petition where it sounds like he's not being heard. Because what does it say? Verse 9. Do not hide your face from me. Was David in tears when he was saying this? I don't know. It says, do not turn your servant away in anger. Wow, this is David who knows this, just like us. And he's still imploring. It says, you have been my help. Do not leave me nor forsake me, O God of my salvation. So David knows this is the God of his salvation, but he's still imploring to God, saying, do not leave me nor forsake me. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Well, wouldn't that be tough? To have your mother and father forsake you. Or your children forsake you. Verse 11. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Then he says, do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries. For false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. Again, just, I don't know if you close your eyes or if you can just picture the imagery here. How bad is the false accusations? How bad are the enemies? It says, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. Wow, that's some imagery, isn't it? They breathe out violence. Whew, and how bad was it? How bad was it for David? Right? How bad were his adversaries? How bad were these false witnesses breathing out violence? Verse 13, I would have lost heart. That's how bad it was. I would have lost heart unless... Now, this is the stuff now you hold on to. I would have lost heart unless... So did David feel like he was about to lose heart? I think so. But he says, I would have lost heart. I was there. Unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So, if you're ever at a point in your life, if you've been at a point, if you might be at a point right now that you question some things and you might say something like, God, are you hearing my prayer? Or, I was anointed by one of your ministers, God, and hold on, it seems like nothing's happening. Well, we're in good company. David was there. Others have waited. You're not alone. And then verse 14 ends with that encouragement. It says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So there we have that. The psalm ends with that encouragement. But also within it, it says, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. So this is a heart matter. Remember verse 13 said, David said, I would have lost heart unless. So I want to highlight a few things that were in this psalm by going to other. This is one of these messages that I could have given exclusively from the Psalms. So if you need encouragement, you can go to the Psalms. If you need strengthening, you can go to the Psalms. If you need your heart strengthened, you can go to the Psalms. Well, let's read a few more Psalms. So then we have that, this, right, where it ended with such strength, but also boosting that only comes from God. So I want to pick up a few things from here. Hope in the Lord. So one of the things that was emphasized was this hope in the Lord. Let's go to some Psalms. Psalm 31. So it's probably just over a page from where you are. Psalm 31. And we'll see this hope. Remember, I would have lost heart unless. Let's read some of these words, this hope. Psalm 31, verse 4. It says, pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. Right? So, secretly laid a net. The title I've got, the subtitle I've got in my... What have I got? I've got a Nelson's Wide Margin New King James. My subtitle says, "The Lord, a fortress in adversity." Right? This is one of those solid psalms, right? The Lord, a fortress in my adversity. So verse 4 says, about pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength. And you could read this whole psalm. And there's a lot of encouragement in it. In this psalm. Let's go to verse 24 though. We'll go right to the end. It says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Remember again, this is a matter of the heart. And it's not always the academic logic of the brain. Right? Sometimes it's, we need this, right? We need to be able to read God's word and have it implanted in our mind. Remember, God's word says to write the law on your mind and on your heart. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. So we want to strengthen that hope in the Lord. Let's go to Psalm 130. And as I said, we could spend the rest of the time in the Psalms. So I'm going to read some of them here. Psalm 130, we'll just pick out verse 5. Psalm. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word do I hope. So in God's word I do hope. So the benefit of memory scriptures. And I know some of you will say, I struggle to memorize scripture. Well, when you live scripture, it gets implanted in there. When you live it, when you read some of these verses. Now, you can academically memorize, and then you can heart memorize. When you've heart memorized, it's there. And we work different ways, by the way. You can think back to when you were in high school and you had to memorize things. What worked then? If it didn't work then, don't do that. Right? Figure out how your brain works and connect it with the heart, because this is heart subject. Psalm So I'm just going to read it again. Psalm 130, verse 5. I wait for the Lord, my soul waits, and in his word I do hope. Psalm 119. I think it's pretty hard to not go have at least one verse from Psalm 119, the largest chapter in God's word, packed full. Psalm 119 and verse 28. Again, just pause and just feel the imagery. Visualize this. It says, my soul melts from heaviness. Okay, don't put your hand up, but just think, have you ever been where you, it feels like your soul is melting from heaviness, right, through a grief, through a tough situation? Strengthen me according to your word. Right, because our hope is in God's word. It's in the Lord. Okay, we're going to break out of Psalms and go to Isaiah. Now, the book of Isaiah is another one of those books of just incredible encouragement. If you want to do a study yourself, right, you're wondering what to study, read the book of Isaiah if you want some encouragement. Right, you could do the Psalms. The book of Isaiah just has lots of encouragement and future hope. This gives a verse here. We'll pick a few verses from Isaiah. Verse 17 of Isaiah 8 says, and I will wait on the Lord who hides his face from the house of Jacob, and I will hope in him. Why am I reading these verses that say the same thing? Because others have been through it. Right, we're not alone. There's others that have been through this, tough things, where it seems like God is hiding his face, but they still hope in the Lord. Okay, so hope in the Lord. Hope, and this is obviously related, but hope in his salvation. And we're looking at those promises that David really looked at in Psalm 27, in those verses 4 through 6. We look to that future. So it's still in the Isaiah, I forget which way to say it. I get mixed up between New Zealand and American sometimes. But don't worry, Wes will give me correction later. Isaiah 25 and verse 9. And it will be said, in that day. So here's one of those, in that day. When it's in that day, it's talking about a future day. It's a day to come. And we usually look at this as being in that day, being in that day of Christ's return. So we usually, it usually is the emphasis. So it says, verse 9, and it will be said in that day, behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation. How many times did it talk about waiting in that just that one verse there? Isaiah understood. There were times when he had to wait. You think of all the understanding that was given to the prophet Isaiah, and he never saw it fulfilled. So he waited his whole lifetime. It's like the list in Hebrews 11. They received the promises and saw them afar off. Okay, chapter 33. Isaiah 33 and verse 2. Isaiah 33 and verse 2. O Lord, be gracious to us. We have waited for you. Be their arm every morning, our salvation also in the time of trouble. We have waited for you. All right, now we're going to break right out of the First Testament Let's go to the book of James. James 5. This book that talks about faith and works, right? This tremendous faith that James shows in this book. James 5 and verse 8. It says, "You also be patient." So James understood, right? Going through trials is tough. Going through grief is tough. Going through loss is tough. Seeing loved ones suffer is very hard. "You also be patient. Establish your hearts." It sounds like James must have been reading the First Testament because he must have read the Psalms. It says, "Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." So I wanted to emphasize verse 8, but maybe let's read verse 7 as well. It says, "Therefore be patient, brethren." Is this an ongoing theme with God's people? We have to be patient. It says, "Therefore be patient, brethren." Be patient, brothers. Be patient, family. Right, that word brethren, this is a familial word here. We're in this together until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early rain and latter rain. Now, could the farmer mess things up? Oh, the fruit hasn't come yet. Oh, I think I'm going to dig it up. Right? If the farmer wasn't patient for the fruit to come that he couldn't see yet, except he could see it in his mind's eye, like, God, don't make me have to go headfirst into a snowbank. I need to wait patiently on you. Right? You've got to receive the early and latter rains. And sometimes that rain is heavy. Right? And sometimes the rain comes down. It's like, okay, is this the rain that's going to help me? Or is this the rain that's going to flood me out? Right? After that, it says, "Do not grumble against one another." Why would? Well, if you're not being patient, it can lead to some of these other things in verse 9. But if you're waiting patiently, then you're not grumbling, are you? So verse 8 again. "You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." So waiting patiently with perseverance. We've been talking about that already, but let's just emphasize a few more verses here. We'll go back to the Psalms. So Psalm 40 and verse 1. Psalm 40 and verse 1. If I'd been smart, I would have said, keep a ribbon in the Psalms. But I can hear a few people still turning, so I'm going to take a drink of water. Because I'm planning to wait patiently while you turn to the Psalms. Psalm 40 and verse 1. Again, the subtitle I have in my Bible for Psalm 40 says, "Faith Persevering in Trial." I mean, you could go through the Psalms, you could just flick through if you wanted, and just say, oh, what's the subtitle? Okay, I'll read that one. I'll read that one. That catches my eye. And again, a Psalm of David. So this is not from someone who didn't know what they were writing about, what they were putting to poetry, what they were putting to music. "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. Do you ever wait for God and you can and picture God inclining his ear? Do you ever picture God that way? That he's inclining his ear and he's hearing everything from your heart and mind? Maybe the did you know today with supplication? That's a beautiful imagery, isn't it? And it's good. Your mind works differently than mine, right? But I picture things sometimes. I read God's word and images come to my mind. I think what a beautiful verse. And I think David did that a little bit with the imagery that he shows. Okay, Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Okay, the subtitle of Psalm 62, you may have the same one in yours. It says, a calm resolve to wait for the salvation of God. A calm resolve. That's just the subtitle. Let's get to some of the words here. Right, there was a chief musician, Judithan, a psalm of David. So there's a collaboration here on this psalm. Truly, my soul silently waits for him. My soul silently waits for him. Sorry, waits for God. From him comes my salvation. Drop down to verses 5 and 6. Verse 5. My soul waits silently for God alone. For my expectation, remember that word wait? I said there's an expectation. When you look at the definition. For my expectation is from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. Why do we have these verses? Because there's times when we feel like we're going to be moved. And this is a reassurance, I will not be moved. And it's not because I'm really strong or you're really strong. It's because God's word is strong. God's promises are strong. God is the strength, our rock, or our fortress. Psalm 59. Verse 9. Psalm 59 and verse 9. Are you his strength? I will wait for you. For God is my defense. Or God is my fortress. Don't you love psalms like this? God is my fortress. Do you have an image? Right? There's a battlement that can withstand whatever is thrown at it. This is not just a physical fortress which men can devise a way to crash through it. This is God's fortress that he is able to surround you with. So waiting patiently. Okay, we're getting to the last slide. Help in our weakness. We've already been talking about that, but I want to emphasize with some of these verses. So, Hosea. Hosea 12 and verse 6. Hosea 12 and verse 6. And I've put that word continually. We can have this help. Hosea 12 and verse 6. So you, by the help of your God, return. Observe mercy and justice and wait on your God continually. Now, you can go back and look at this yourself, but this is other people talking to God's people. people outside of Israel or outside of the church actually see something and they say, you go back to your God. And it says, observe mercy and justice and wait on your God continually. So this is somebody from outside that sees in one of us, you can rely on your God. Just think about that. Someone sees you going through a tough time and they can see it and say, you wait on your God. That's something. You can go back and take a bit more time on that Isaiah yourself. Let's go to Colossians. Colossians 1, verse 11. In Colossians, it's talking about walking with God. Right, the verse 10 says, that you may have a walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing Him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. But then in verse 11, it says, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. So how do we walk with God? It's not by our might, my might or my power, but my spirit, says the Lord. That's another scripture. But it says, verse 11, Colossians 1, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power for all patience and long-suffering with joy. I've got to tell you, that's not an easy verse to read sometimes. That is not an easy verse to read sometimes. But this says, long-suffering with joy. But we can do it because others have done it before us. Okay, let's go to Romans 8. We're going to finish in Romans 8. We've already been in Romans 8 today. Oh, I forgot to put the scriptures up there. Here we go. Romans 8 and verse 26 we'll read. Verses 26 and 27 of Romans 8. It says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. Right? Sometimes it can be so, it's like being caught in a snowbank. I know I keep referring back to the sermon there. But you can't even see because it's all white. It's like, well, I don't even know what I should be asking for. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself, the Spirit that was within us, if we've been baptized and we have the Spirit dwelling in us, makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. So there's been times that I've prayed and I didn't have words. And I've cried, and what's come out is, God, you know. God, you know. Now, he who searches the hearts, so what's being searched? Is it our academic mind that we understand this? It's like sometimes somebody might come up to you and quote a verse. And you're like, okay, yeah, I know that. Thanks. I can't quite face that right now. It says, now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is. So it's heart and mind. He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit is because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Who makes intercessions? Jesus Christ makes intercessions for us. And then what follows after this is verse 28, which some of you have as a memory verse. But it comes with these verses that come before it, right? And sometimes you can just have that verse 28. And we know all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. But hold on, the verses before were times when you didn't even know what to pray. You didn't even know what to say to God with that groaning. So waiting on God, waiting in the hope of the Lord, waiting in the salvation of the Lord, waiting in the hope of God's word, waiting with perseverance. And in our times of weakness, sometimes we have to wait. Verse 25, Romans 8, verse 25. And if we hope for what we do not see, then we eagerly wait for it with perseverance.